You've been here how many days?
Four.
How many?
Four.
4 days. You want to go home?
No.
You had enough? No? You want more? More work? More meetings? Yes? No? You like it here? Why? Why do you like it here?
Because you're here, Mom.
Because I'm here? Give me a reason. Do you like it here? Why? What are you doing?
Because I'm learning more about God.
You learned how to mow a lawn.
I said I can learn more about God.
You're learning more about God?
Yeah.
Now you have to speak up. Remember, I told you.
I can learn more about God and things like that.
Okay.
And learn about more things about like when He put His Son Jesus on this earth to die for us and things like that. And like, you know.
Mm-hmm. You've been a camper?
Yeah.
You have been a camper. All right. It's agreed that you are all content here. You are happy.
Joyful.
Yes.
Joyful.
And you are happy to be here, you're happy to serve, and the guests are happy to be here also?
Amen.
Okay. What do you think our theme is going to be for 2 weeks? What are you going to hear over and over and over again for 2 weeks? What do you think?
Joy.
What's the theme? You have your books? You have your books? I would appreciate if everyone would bring your books to every meeting. Morning and evening. I also would appreciate if you would bring a pencil or a pen and that you write something, all right, in these books. And also you ought to bring your this white book that you got that has poems and songs in it, all right? Do that in every meeting because we're going to study about being a pilgrim. A pilgrim. Now this morning, if you have in your notebook, what did you write as a definition for a pilgrim? What is a pilgrim? Now you have the cover to write on, and you have two blank pages in the back to write on. All right, and then you have to do each psalm. We're going to study each psalm every day. All right, what is the definition of a pilgrim? You guess you can answer as well. I'm not just talking to the staff, all right? How would you describe a pilgrim?
A traveler.
Pardon?
A traveler.
A traveler?
With a destination.
Loud?
With a destination to seek God.
With a destination. A traveler with a destination. All right, another word for a pilgrim. Begins with an S.
Going to a sacred place.
Pardon?
Going to a sacred or special place.
You're making a pilgrimage to a special place, all right. But that only happens once in a while, you know, like the pilgrims here. But we're talking now about a spiritual pilgrim. He's a sojourner. You got that down in your book? Write it. Open your books. You don't have yours here? You have one? A pilgrim is a sojourner. He's just passing through, right? He's on a journey. He has a destination. Do you think there are only just Christian pilgrims? Or would you say that everybody in this world is a pilgrim? Now think.
Yes.
Is everybody on a journey?
Yes,
whether they're Christians or not, everybody is on a journey. And when does that journey end?
At death.
At death. And what is the destination of Christians?
Heaven.
Heaven. And what is the destination of non-Christians?
Hell.
Say it.
Hell.
Say it.
Hell.
Yeah. Everybody's on a journey. You young people and you middle-aged guests, excluding you and me. We are over 85. And you know what comes to me? Sister Martha, you're getting to the end of your journey. You're getting to the end of your pilgrimage. Is that true?
Yes.
Yes, yes, I'm getting to the end of my... How long do I expect to live?
100.
100? Yeah, that's what people have been telling me. You'll go to 100, Sister, but you know, wait, that 100 will come too. And so my days and my husband's days and anybody over 70, our days are numbered. And it makes me feel sometimes a little bit nervous. No, I really don't want to leave yet, do I?
No.
Why don't I want to leave yet?
You still have some more things to do.
I have more things to do? Okay. But another reason. Why don't I want to leave yet? Come on, I hear you.
You have your children, your grandchildren.
I have children. I have grandchildren. I have great grandchildren. So do I want to die, really? You think so? No, I don't want to die yet. But only God knows. But when you pass 70, you begin to realize the days are numbered. And it puts a desire in our hearts to live the way Jesus really wants us to live, right? Now, I want to ask you another question. Don't mind, I ask questions, all right? You'll get to know me after a while. And when I ask a question, I expect an
answer.
And a loud answer, okay? A loud answer. So we're all passing through, either our destination is heaven or our destination is hell. However, now give me your ears. Your destination, your pilgrimage could end at any time. True?
Yes.
It's not just old people who are coming to the end. I'm going to give you two illustrations that happened this year. A middle-aged man who's about 45 years old. He lives here upstate. He has some acres of land, and those lands produce, weeds and stubble, and he has horses and... Anyhow, he wanted to cut down the grass or the weeds, and he had a tractor. You ever see these big tractors? A big one, all right? But his neighbor told him, don't use that tractor. You don't have brakes on it. You hear that, boys? Don't use the tractor. It doesn't have any brakes. But did the man listen? He didn't listen. So he's mowing and he's mowing, and then he's going down a slight hill, and there's a pond at the bottom of the hill. And he's going down and he realizes he can't stop because he doesn't have brakes. So what does he do? What would you do if you can't stop and you're going down into a pond?
Jump.
You would turn around?
Jump.
What would you do?
Jump.
Oh. Jump. All right, that would be smart. He should have done that, but he didn't. He turned the tractor, and the tractor fell over, and in the process of the tractor falling over, he fell off, and the tractor went on top of him and crushed him to death almost immediately. He was only 45. Did he expect to die at that age? When he went on that tractor, did he expect to die that moment? No. So don't think that you can live till 85. You might not. You just might not. I'm not trying to scare you, all right? I'm not trying to scare you. But just realize, it's not just old people who die. And then 2 weeks ago, in a short distance from our neighborhood, there was a boy. He was going to have a birthday within a week or so, but his parents gave him a bicycle before his birthday. I guess he was pestering them. He knew he was getting a bicycle. And so, you know how boys are. Can I have it now? And so the parents gave him the bicycle. And he went out riding on the streets. Whatever he did, he got in between a truck. And he fell off the bike. And the back wheels of the truck ran over him. And he was killed. And they buried him on his 13th birthday. Can you imagine such a thing? 13 years old and his pilgrimage was over. I don't know if he was a Christian or not. Now this is sad. This is sad. But we have no assurance that we're going to live to any certain age. You understand that, young people? You understand that? And you older people know what I'm talking about. So we have to be what? Ready at all times? We have to be good pilgrims all the way through? I'd like to ask you a personal question. When did you begin your pilgrimage? When did you begin your pilgrimage? When did you say, I am determined, I've made up my mind, I'm going to serve the Lord. I'm going to repent of my sins. I'm determined, I'm going to follow Jesus. I'm going to serve him, I'm going to live for him. In other words, we call that the day of salvation, right? Can you think of the day or the year when you made that decision to become a pilgrim? Now think for a minute. I don't think you'd be here if you're not a pilgrim. I don't know if they'd let you here on campgrounds. You filled out an application? What was one of the questions? Aletha, what's one of the questions?
When and where did you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior?
And they're supposed to put down the year? Well, that's just a question, yes or no?
When and where?
Put down the top of the day if they know as well as they can. The year, the month, the day, whatever they
want. And you all filled in the day? You didn't lie, did you? Why are they laughing, Letha? You know, we had somebody here years ago, a Chinese boy from Rutgers Assembly. He didn't really want to come to camp, but his mother wanted him to come. She thought it would do him good. He wanted to be on the staff. So you know what this mother did? We found this out later. She filled out the application. She answered all the questions. And she signed his name. What kind of a mother? But she was so anxious that this boy would come because she knew he needed salvation. He needed help here at camp. But he's applying to be a staff member. Do you think he behaved himself after he got here? He didn't behave himself. You can't fool and make believe that you're a Christian, that you're a pilgrim, when you're not. And we had a meeting here. I was sitting there and he was sitting next to me. And there was such conviction in the meeting that night that that boy began to shake all of you. Can you remember that, Philip? He began to shake from head to foot. I think the devil was going out of him. Something. And everybody came, the men came and they prayed with him. And does anybody remember that? You remember it. And Philip remembers it. And then the brother wanted to come. He had dyed his hair pink. Pink. And he applied for an app, wanted to come and work as a staff. I took one look at him, and I said, if I was the director, I'm not. I'm nothing. I have nothing to say about your coming. If I was the director, go home, boy. Nobody with pink here is a pilgrim. True? You see, you can't make believe. You can't make believe. Your sin will find you out. And I blame that mother. But I believe the boy got help. I contacted him a few times after he went back to Jersey, but then I lost contact with him. But I did have a conversation with him down at the boathouse. And you know what he told me? He was going to the Rutgers Church, the Pentecostal church there in New Jersey. So he had influence. He knew what he should be doing. He said, you know, I believe God wants me to be a missionary, but I don't want to be a missionary, Sister Mark. So he was fighting, you see? There was an inward battle in that boy. And I should have followed him, but I haven't followed him. I hope that he's turned out okay. But do you know the year that you became a pilgrim? How many of you know? Why don't all the hands go up? You know? I'm going to tell you something. I'll take 5 minutes, all right? You can ring a bell, Philip, when 5 minutes are over. My parents were saved when I was 5 years old. All right? 5 years old. They attended the Ridgewood Pentecostal Church back in Brooklyn. And that's the church that bought this property, this camp property, all right? That's the church that owns this property or had the beginnings with it. And I went to this Sunday school when I was 5 years old. I began Sunday school. When did you begin Sunday school? How old were you? Well, I was in the primary department. And I had a wonderful teacher, Sister Emma Poster. She was my Sunday school teacher. And I felt so much in love with this Sunday school and hearing all these wonderful Bible stories. My father worked 6 days a week. And he had Sundays off. Well, this is during the winter. I started Sunday school. When summertime came, it was our custom as a family to go to the beach. Because my father worked 6 days, he didn't have off. And so Sundays, the whole family had been going to the beach, even after they got saved. What do you think I did? When summertime came and they said, no Sunday school, we're going to the beach today. What do you think? I was bold. What do you think I told my parents? What would you tell your parents? What would you tell your parents? I said, Mommy, I don't want to go to the beach. I want to go to Sunday school. And then they told my Sunday school teacher. He said, my daughter doesn't want to go to the beach. She wants to stay home on Sunday and go to Sunday school. And you know what Sister Emma said? I'll take her Saturday night to my house. She can sleep over and I'll take her to Sunday school on Sunday and you can go to the beach. That's all right. She wasn't going to push my parents, all right? Because you have to come to it yourself. And so I went to Sister Emma's house on Saturday night. Good idea, teachers?
Yes.
Yes. And that went on for a few weeks in the summer. You know what happened one day when my parents were at the beach? My sister was 4 years old. She got lost. Okay, parents, how would you feel? You can't find your four-year-old child. She's wandered off. And my father walked back and forth, up and down the beach. He thought maybe she drowned, maybe somebody kidnapped her. He got blisters on his feet. All afternoon he was looking for her. And my mother was back with my other brother, the young brother. And what was she doing? She began praying. Lord, help my husband to find my daughter. Suddenly it dawned on them, where should you go when you lose somebody? Parents, where would you go? You go to the lost and found, right? They have that on the beach where the Red Cross is, where they bandage you up if you get injured. And there's a lost and found, I believe, on every beach. And so, oh, go to the lost and found. You think they found her?
Yes.
She was sitting there crying. She'd been there all afternoon. Somebody found her and brought her. Now, do you think my parents went to the beach the next Sunday? No. They didn't go to the beach the next Sunday. It was Sunday school now. It was Sunday school. They found in the Bible, thou shalt... What about the Sabbath day?
Honor
the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And that's one reason why you don't go swimming on Sundays here at Pilgrim Camp. Okay? Oh, but it's so hot. The children, they're just standing on the beach and looking at it. Why can't they go in? No, it's a rule here at camp, and it's a rule that's set in concrete. It will never change because God's word says Sunday is God's day. We don't have our... What? Fun? Our screaming out there. We worship the Lord in the morning and in the evening. And so my parents learned that lesson. And so we continued going to Sunday school, and then they had children's meetings on Friday after school, till I was about 11 years old. The same teacher had children's meeting for the children. There's about 20 of us that used to attend. At the end of every meeting, you know what this teacher did? She called us all to the front of the altar. And we all knelt down on that altar on Cornelius Street. All us kids. And you know what she did? She prayed for each one of us. She went from one to the other and put her hands on each one and said a prayer. I couldn't wait till she got to me. You know, it took quite a while for her to pray for 20 kids. But I expected something. When that teacher prayed for me, I always expected God to do something for me. I was just a child. And yet I had a heart for God. I wanted Jesus to control my life. And then when I was 12 years old, I finally made a decision. I'm going to be baptized in water. You know what that means? How many of you have been baptized in water in your church? Put your hands up. That's what happens after you become a pilgrim. You take the step of water baptism. The pastor, he puts you under. Does he leave you there? No. He buries you. It's just a symbol. And then he picks you up again. And now you're supposed to be living a new life. You have been living. This is just a symbol. Baptism is just a symbol of what has already happened inside. You understand? You've decided to become a pilgrim. Now you make a public confession. Everybody knows. You get a certificate. They take vows from you. And you become, that I call that official. You become an official Christian. And so that's as far as I'm going to go, because I could go from 12 years old to 85 and I could tell you all kinds of stories, but I'm not going to do that tonight, all right? Good? I know. All right, now, turn to 1 Peter 1. I'm a happy pilgrim. I'm thankful I turned to God when I was young. 1 Peter 1, 15 to 17. See what Peter has to say to us. 1 Peter 1, 15 to 17. Let's read it together. Ready? But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And if you call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. What's another word for sojourning? Pass the time of your pilgrimage. It's the same meaning. And we're going to find that later on in the week in other places where it uses the word sojourn. And another word might be a pilgrimage. You're going to find that. But here we're to finish our journey in fear. In fear of displeasing the Lord. And we're going to be H-O-L-Y. Is that what a pilgrim is? Is a pilgrim H-O-L-Y? Yes, yes or no?
Yes.
Yes. Because it's a command. Be holy. I'd like you to turn to the first page in your book. Page 7. The first song. Page 7. The first director of Pilgrim Camp, his name was what? First director of Pilgrim Camp. He lived here all summer. All right? Anybody know his name? No? The first director? Nobody knows. You're not that old, I know. This is 60 years ago. His name was Gordon Gardner. And he would read this poem. I don't know how many times I heard him read it. And he would read it with expression. Okay? That's the way you're supposed to read a poem. So we're going to read it tonight with expression, all right? It's about a pilgrim. Everyone have it? Page 7. Now, these poems, they're not so easy to understand. Did you find that out? Have you been reading anything? I mean, these were written some of the hundreds of years ago. And sometimes the language and the words we just don't seem to understand, but they're good, all right? Now, this is about a pilgrim. Now, I want you to read it with expression, all right? Ready? All together. Who would true valor see? Let him come hither. One here will constant be, come wind, come weather. There's no discouragement shall make him once relent his first avowed intent to be a pilgrim. Whoso beset him round with dismal stories do but themselves confound. His strength the more is. No lion can him fright. He'll with a giant fight, but he will have a right to be a pilgrim. Hobgoblin nor foul fiend can daunt his spirit. He knows he at the end shall life inherit. Then fancies fly away. He'll fear not what men say. He'll labor night and day to be a pilgrim. Are you a pilgrim? And we're going to give you opportunity in the days to come to tell us when you became a pilgrim and what your experience was. You think you can do that? Would you be willing to share that with us? When you became a pilgrim? Yes or no?
Yes.
Oh, the adults are saying yes. What about you young people? Would you be willing to do that? To tell us how it happened and when? Yes?
Yes.
Come on. Be honest.
Yes.
You're going to do it?
Yes.
You know this Gordon Gardner, this first director. You think I'm a tough cookie? He was, you had to, if you were on the staff, you had to testify 2 times during the period.
Good.
Shall we insist on that this period? You must testify 2 times. Not that you must, but that's what he insisted. And if you didn't, he had it all in his mind. He knew who didn't. And he would call on you at the last meeting, and you had to stand on your feet and his goodness repeat. Yeah, he had to. And so I don't want to force you to, but you think about it. Give us some details. What led you up to your decision to be a pilgrim? And also, maybe you could tell us, why are you here today? Why did you sign up for camp? Because you like the swimming? You like the boating? You like to meet new girls? Why are you laughing? You like to meet the boys? Why are you here?
Because